white supremacist, anti-Semitic, anti-feminist, Islamophobic. Just some of the words that some people use to describe the alternative right or the alt-right movement. This movement has gotten big attention, especially in the last year or two, with prominent members throwing their support behind the president-elect, Donald Trump. But what is the alt-right movement? Here to give you some clarity is Christopher Sebastian Parker, associate professor of political science at the University of Washington. And he studies American politics, civil rights, and social movements. Professor Parker, welcome to the program.
It's glad to be on the program again.
Let's start with, who are the alt-right? What do we mean?
Well, the alt-right is short for alternative right, which means that it is an alternative to establishment conservatives. And so, and these are people, much like you said in your lead-in, that believe in those sort of tenets, let's just call it blanket intolerance, just for shorthand. And so it really hit the mainstream, if you will, in terms of more national public awareness recently with the election of President-elect Donald Trump. But it's been around since the proliferation of or the democratization of media, which what I mean by that is essentially the spread of social media.
How did this movement get started?
So it has its roots. Let's just call it what it is. And I'm unabashed in my criticism of it. You know, this movement goes back to its roots go back to the Klan. Right. And then more recently to the neo-Nazi movements. Right. So this is not like it's never been around. So it was called white nationalism then. It was called white supremacy before. Then it made a transition to white nationalism. Now it's called the alt-right. And so its roots go back a fair ways. But the issue is like the current name of it, alt-right, you know, it was coined by Richard Spencer, I think, 8 years ago. And so ever since then, you know, it's been called the alt-right, but the major tenets of the alt-right are roundly and thoroughly consistent with white supremacy and white nationalism.
Now, Richard Spencer does call himself a white nationalist, but Steve Bannon, the new White House strategist who called his website a platform for the alt-right, he says he's not a white nationalist. Are we misrepresenting him by not calling him what he asks to be called?
Well, first of all, what are the tenets that he ascribes to himself? And then, you know, then I'll comment on that. What does he say he is?
Well, what I know is he said he's an economic nationalist, not a white nationalist.
Okay, well, if he's an economic nationalist, that's more consistent. That falls more under the umbrella of more establishment conservatism, right? There's nothing wrong with that, if you will, you know, from a normative perspective. But to the extent that that the alt-right or some of his beliefs as he was, it suggested since he edited Breitbart News, which propounded a bunch of these intolerant views, how can one, even if he calls himself that now, how long has that been the case? He was the editor of Breitbart News, for Christ's sake, right? So how can he credibly disassociate himself from their views at this point? It seems like it's really convenient for him right now to call himself an economic nationalist.
I read at Breitbart.com an article called An Establishment Conservative's Guide to the Alt-Right, and the authors described it as having a major strain of white separatism, but that it's multifaceted, it's isolationist, it's anti-free trade, it's pro-masculinity, whatever that means to you. And they said that calling the alt-right movement white nationalist is like calling the Black Lives Matter movement anti-police.
You know what? That's, you know, instead of saying what I want to say, let's suffice it to say that's a bunch of hogwash, if you will. So what you just named, you know, economic protectionism, if you will, this pro-masculinity, those types of beliefs fit fairly comfortably underneath the establishment conservative umbrella, right? So for him to say that, yeah, there are definitely different strains to it. But think about the ways in which, you know, the ways in which this departs from establishment conservatism are its intolerant views. Now, some people would argue, some of my academic colleagues would say that conservatism just by its very nature is intolerant, which is not true. Right. Conservatism is really about slowing and managing social change, whereas these alt-right people, these alternative right people, or prior to them, these Trump supporters, these Tea Partiers, they actually wanted to go backwards in time. They not only wanted to arrest change, they wanted to go back to some time in history during which their social prestige, the group to which they belong, their social prestige went unchallenged. So this is what these alt-right people are talking about. So Spencer is the director and head of the National Policy Institute, which is about, you know, the preservation and the celebration of people with European ancestry, mm-hmm. right? Which is completely consistent with white nationalism. It's about this idea that the white race, quote unquote, if you will, is under siege. It is being overrun by these other races and groups and beliefs. And also, it's not just a racial thing, it's a religious thing as well.
Let's talk about how the media uses words. KUOW has decided to avoid using the term alt-right in favor of either white supremacist or white nationalist. One commenter on Reddit, most of our listeners, by the way, from what I've seen in social media, are on board with this. Okay. One commenter on Reddit had a concern saying, I'm fine with using the term white nationalism if what they're applying it to is white nationalism. If their intention is to avoid using alt-right as a euphemism, then it's fine. But if the intention is to use white nationalists broadly as a substitute for alt-right, it's problematic. And it sounds like you disagree. You're good with KUOW's approach to this?
I'm perfectly fine with it because alt-right, you know, beyond the major differences that I discussed at the top of the show, that this idea that it has really come into vogue since the, you know, given the democratization of the media, right? And what I mean by that is social media. Beyond that, it serves as a means of making it more palatable to the unwitting public, if you will, because a lot of people don't know what alt-right means. But if you say, hey, these are white nationalists, people know what that means, right? And that has become, over time, less and less palatable, you know, to people, you know, to most people, right? It's, you know, even if we, you know, even a lot of white folks, many white folks don't find white nationalism to be appealing to them. They find it, quite frankly, anti-American.
Finally, Professor, do you ever struggle with the difference between the media trying to get it right to be accurate, to describe people's actions, and the media deciding what should be palatable or appealing to their audience?
Well, I think that's a problem. The media should not be an arbiter in that sense, right? I mean, the media should simply report the news, right? And let the citizens, you know, we can't assume that the citizens can't figure out their preferences. The citizens should be able to figure out their preferences on their own without the media selecting a menu for them.
That is Professor Christopher Parker, Associate Professor of Political Science at University of Washington. Did I get that right?
It's Professor.
Professor.
I got promoted.
Sorry, Professor. He studies American politics, civil rights, and social movements, and we'll demote the person who writes our introductions. It's great to talk with you again. Thanks.
Thanks for letting me be back on the show.